Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome. What's up, Star fam? Thanks for tuning in. You are receiving a live transmission from Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, January 27, 2012, and that was a track off Paul Oakenfold's album, Creamfields, of 2004. That track was Wadi, and it's a awesome track we'll be playing throughout this show. And there's a part two to it. This is CD 2 off Paul Oakenfold's album. And again, Starseed Energy Radio is brought to you in part by the Domain Eco Village. The Domain is an exclusive community for people with an environmental consciousness and self-sustaining spirit. It will be the world's first turnkey green and off-the-grid capable residential development. By utilizing wind and sunlight as an abundant and reliable source of renewable energy and coupled with the strongest structure ever devised, the geodesic dome, this development showcases doing more with less and energy freedom for like-minded families. Check out the domainecovillage.com. They're a sponsor of the show, and we'll be plugging them for the next couple months. They already have their first site up, and it's exciting, exciting stuff. So check out domainecovillage.com. Time to be self-sustained. The Domain. And joining me on the show tonight, we have some great guests lined up for you. We have Dr. Thea Summer Deer, PhD, medical herbalist and intuitive. The TheaSummerDeer.com is her website. We're also going to get some galactic updates from Michael Elizjan from PrepareForTheLandings.com and also ChannelForTheMasters.com. And we'll also be getting some 3D world news updates from Ryan Dernick. He is a writer for GCN Network and also has his own blog site up, BellweatherPost.com. And let's just jump right into it. We got some really cool news stories and updates in the pipeline for you. First, we'll jump into the Occupy protests. And they've been going on for over 4 months now. We've been talking about them every week here on the show. And the Occupy movement has really taken the storm. And there was a huge rally in Egypt, and the Egyptians rallied over hundreds of thousands of people to mark the year anniversary of the uprising in Egypt. Also, all over the globe, there's been other encampments that have been set up and some taken down, like the ones in Oakland and other places like that. So check out OccupyTheNation.com, and you can find out some more information and support the cause. It's an awesome movement. So now let's jump into some earth changes. We got Michael Elgin on the line from Prepare for the Landings. We couldn't get a hold of him last week, so he's back to join us live. And with us is Michael. How are you? Hello, Michael. Can you hear us? And let's see. Michael, you there? Sounds like he's having some phone problems. Michael, you with us? Michael? Okay. Sounds like we're having sound problems. We tried getting Michael on last week, and we had some sound problems as well, so the station will try to, I guess, get him back. I couldn't hear him if he was there. Michael, if you are listening, we'll try to call you back, I guess, in another number. Let's see what the station says. Michael, you there? Hello, Michael. Michael, can you hear us? Hello? Michael.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, we hear you now.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for joining us. I have a bad echo, so I hope you don't hear that.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, good. So let's jump into the galactic updates. What's going on? There's some been exciting updates I've been receiving from you, so go ahead and just jump into it and tell the listeners what's going on with Nezra, Bill Wilcock, and everything else that's going on.
Well, there's a lot going on. I don't know if I had talked to you since the deep underground military bases were began to be taken out in the end of August by the Federation of Light, and that led into a lot of other things. David Wilcock and Benjamin Fulford's, you know, expose about all the tons and tons of gold that has been basically hidden away for centuries that have now become, brought out in the open, so to speak. A recent whistleblower who was in the Black Ops, Bill Wood, who was interviewed on Project Camelot just the other day and was interviewed by Kerry Cassidy and David Wilcox. Anyway, quite fascinating because he was in, of course, stationed at Area 51. He was trained in remote viewing. And the significance about his experience was the fact that he was connected with a thing called Project Looking Glass, which was an alien device to actually connect with Samaria that they discovered a long time ago, and they were trying to find a way, the power elite has been, to manipulate the timeline so that they could have it turn out the way they wanted, the cabal, you know. And they referred to the fact that there were two main timelines that were going to finally come together in this year, December 21st. This was back when he was working on this project back in the 1990s, and they called him in to see if he could fix the problem. That is, they were using these very powerful computers hooked to the looking glass device, and they wanted they kept referring to Timeline 1 and Timeline 2, and they didn't refer much to Timeline 1, but inferred that it was basically a good outlook for humanity. But they wanted Timeline 2, where the Earth would be devastated by their human genocide, martial law, and all this other crap was going to happen, that only a few survivors, while the power elite would go underground on the underground bases. This was their whole scenario. And they called him in because they wanted him to fix the problem with his ability to remote view, to work out problems, and, you know, to be able to how that would work, because the computers kept showing the same outcome, that on December 21st, 2012, we were going to shift into a higher consciousness, basically an ascension. Now, they didn't want to talk too much about it. He didn't really understand too much about the outcome. It was something they couldn't quite understand because what they were picking up was a higher state of consciousness. But they kept focusing on Timeline 2. So what he realized when he got out, and this was 1997, and he began to do other research, that what they were really seeing was that the planet was going to go through an ascension process. And the timeline one would be the one that no matter what they tried to do to have it turn out differently, the timeline two, the computers always said that it always ended up the same way, despite their attempt to manipulate it with all their technology, all their black ops technology. And so it was just significant to me because here's this person who was in top secret projects and him talking specifically about that's what they perceive was going to end up happening despite their manipulations and all these false flags and everything. So it's just significant because somebody in his position verifying what we that are attuned to new age, higher consciousness have been focusing on all along, even though we also have a lot of people who are caught up in kind of the old timeline, thinking all these major disasters are going to happen this year because the movie's like 2012 and so on. But that's just all been psychop, peer orientation, trying to keep us stuck in the own duality. But this is a very exciting time because for myself, I've been waiting my entire life for this year. To me, it's been quite some time ever since I participated in the Harmonic Convergence back in 1987. I knew that 2012 was going to be quite an incredible year, but still, it's interesting, having interviewed many former Black Op covert individuals involved in classified projects, to have somebody come out who specifically was involved regarding timelines and how he realized, because of his expertise, that there was nothing they could do to manipulate the timeline the way they wanted it. Even though he said that in 1983, something significant happened. It was like a time paradox that was created. A paradox is something where you have two sets of information that each of them are empirically can be provable, but yet they both contradict one another in a sense. And I think paradoxes occur all the time, but some people have a hard time dealing with this. But anyway, he said that between 1983 and this time, we've been going back and forth between the two timelines, basically. And the Power Elite have been trying to generate Timeline 2, which would mean disasters, human genocide, all this stuff. But now we're going toward Timeline 1, and we're going to be, that's how it's going to end up, that all the timelines converge December 21st, and we're going to be in a higher state of consciousness. So that's significant. Wow. From having been somebody in his position, and now he's opened up. Of course, he, like a lot of other black op, former, white hats, we call them, insiders that have come out in recent years, who are also very much connected with the Anonymous group and the Occupy movement. We also have a group called the Oath Takers. These are people in the military, the white hats, the good guys who want to uphold the Constitution and refuse to go along with all these orders to, kill lots of people to keep the war machine going. So he's part of connected with the Oath Takers. He's kind of representing them in a way and how we want to see the world turn out, that these are very powerful people, but they're working for the light. So that's a very significant recent revelation.
Absolutely. And what can you give us a quick update on Nezra, and what do you think the developments are going to be with that this year?
There hasn't been, let's just say, since the last several weeks when David Wilcox was interviewed by Kerry Cassidy on Project Camelot, and based on Benjamin Fulford's information and the interviews that David Wilcox did with him, I don't know if any specific major things have happened since that basic revelation that came out openly about all the tons of gold. I know we're getting closer to, yes, as a matter of fact, I take it back. Well, I have so much on my plate, and one of the things I experienced was on the 9th of this month, a very powerful vision I had. I mean, it was one of those things that happens unexpectedly. When it happens, it's very powerful. And the vision I saw was, and I'm laying in bed, and I saw that all of a sudden I see myself inside this warehouse. It was very clear. It was all painted white, very immaculately clean. And I neatly knew that this is one of several locations that exist like this. And that this, first I didn't know what I was looking at, except I knew I was in this white warehouse. And I could see that I was on the back of it with this long hallway along the back, and there's windows up on the top portion where the light's coming in. But beside me, facing in toward the warehouse, is the edge of the hallway, are these huge printing presses, computerized printing machines. And initially, and I didn't know if what I was seeing was in that same location or another location, but it was significantly connected with this. I saw this giant roll of paper, and what was coming off of it with these log beat sheets, it was unrolling. This machine would come down and cut it into these little pieces that were about the size of currency bills or checks I didn't know at first what I was looking at, but it was very vivid in my mind. But then the scene shifted, and I couldn't tell if that was in the same location, but it was connected with. But then I see these little pieces of about the size of checks or currency bills, a piece of paper, and they're kind of a light blue color, being pulled along this short track. And then I knew that it entered into this machine, and I didn't see whether it was manually done or automatically done, but I knew that these pieces of paper, there was things being printed on them. And I initially didn't see what it said. I just knew it was something significant why I'm being shown this. And I knew it was being supposed to be burned into my mind. Well, then I turned my attention back to this hallway that I happened to be standing in, kind of hovering in kind of way. And there's these, you know, these kind of carts that they use in the post office where they, you know, they're kind of material with little plastic wheels on the bottom. And I could see, and I knew, and I saw that there was something being printed on these pieces of paper, and they were being, and I knew that they'd been put into the envelopes. What was on the check part, what it was on this was partly on the envelope. And then it was automatically sealed, and I saw them thrown, projected out of these machines into these large carts that would, you know, and then the people, I saw that, and the men and women that were standing here grabbed them and stuffed them into these brown corrugated boxes. And then they put them on a cart, went down the hallway. I saw the doors at the end open up, and this was in these white unmarked trucks pack up against, you know, how where those steps that go down, and they buck right up against the concrete steps. And somebody reached and opened up those doors in the back of the truck that go up, and they pushed these boxes. And I knew they were going on the way to the post office. Then my vision shifted back, my view shifted back, and then it dawned on me what I was looking at. I mean, it was very vivid. And I realized that these were checks, and I saw Nasara on the top of those checks. Now, I don't know exactly what the address. It could have been the U.S. Treasury. I just know that the Nasara word stood out very strong, and it said $100,000 on each of these checks. And they were, like, going up, and there was dozens of these printing presses along this hallway, and they were coming on really fast, and it was automatically a new, updated at any moment, given wherever we are on planet Earth by the Galactic Federation. They were downloading this into the computer system so it could be automatically, it's always updated, no matter how long it takes for some. And I knew this, and I was blown away when I realized these are the Nasara checks that for years we've been talking about, you know, these abundance packages being sent out. But it was very clear to me that this is in the very near future, if not already being printed. It was very, very soon that they were printing this up, and I knew that there was different names and addresses. I didn't see what the names and addresses were, but I knew they were all different to going to different people. And it was then the vision faded. But it was extremely vivid. Wow. It stuck in my mind. And then I wrote it up, and I sent an email out to everybody, what I saw on the 9th. And it was just very significant because of the intensity of this vision that I was supposed to share this with everybody as a sign that we're getting really close to Nasara being activated, because all deaths will be done away with and forgiven. What's interesting is Chase Bank, just a week or so ago, are starting to forgive to get starting. They've already fired all of their attorneys who are involved in loan situations, mortgage situations. They're actually forgiving all the debts of the loans right now, because what's happening is they've been told that we're getting ready for this new system. And they're starting to take steps not to really admit what they're doing, just that they're, you know, consolidating, getting rid of all the loans, all these, you know, millions of dollars that people supposedly owe them, even though they committed fraud, of course, the banks did, because there's no signatory note. And so they're getting ready, and I knew in this warehouse that the huge amount of this rainbow currency for the Nasara system has been printed up and stored for years, and that some of the banks I've heard have already received the Nasara rainbow currency that it's piled up in some of the bigger banks, but they haven't really told anyone about it. They're just getting ready. And I know that if Chase is doing it, Bank of America and all these other banks are also doing it, but it's only because this guy was a banker who was working in the bank, sent an email out to some of those people, and other people forwarded it around, and now I got a hold of it, of course. You know, this happened just in the last couple of weeks. They are, you know, this is very significant. And already in 130 countries, I've heard two different numbers. One is 122 and one is 130 that have already said, hey, we want the Federal Reserve. Benjamin Fulford had said at the beginning of this month, by the end of this month, they told the Federal Reserve, we want you to get out of the way and let the new system come in. So that's kind of where we are right now. We're waiting for, significant things to be to happen, and it's very exciting. It sounds like we're getting close. I don't know.
No. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff happening, and it's great to be in 2012, absolutely. And again, thank you for the updates, and we'll be checking in with you next month as well. And again, you can find Michael's work at prepareforthelandings.com and channelforthemasters.com. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us those updates.
Having me, and I'll keep you informed.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next month. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, listen to another track, and we'll be right back with Ryan Dernick with some 3D updates. Enjoy. Welcome back, Star Fam. That was another track off Paul Oakenfold's album, Cream Fields. And thank you again, Michael, for coming on the show and giving us a 5D galactic update. And now let's jump to the 3D updates. We have joining us on the show Ryan Dernick, writer for GCN Network, and also has his own blog post, bellwetherpost.com. And thank you for joining us on the air. Ryan, how you doing?
Very well. How you doing, Jonah?
Doing good. I got a little feedback, so I hope you don't hear that. But let's jump right into some 3D updates. Let's start off with some Earth changes. I know there were some big solar flares and stuff like that going on this week. What can you tell us more about that?
Yes, there was a M-class flare about on January 24th. It impacted the Earth. It was a powerful M9-class solar storm and led to dramatic display of the Aurora Borealis, also known as the Northern Lights. The Northern Lights even illuminated the skies above Scotland, northern England, and northern parts of Ireland. And actually, they were as far south as New England, which is pretty impressive, and it's actually rare. The Northern Lights are seen sometimes from northern Scotland, but they're also visible Monday night from northeastern New England and Ireland, which are more infrequent. In the southern hemisphere, these beautiful light shows are known as the Aurora Australis, or Southern Lights. In regards to the solar flare itself, it was detected by the Solar Dynamical Observatory in SOHO in Antarctica. The specific solar flare was ejected off the surface of the sun toward Earth on January 23rd, 2012, at a speed of approximately 632 kilometers per second. And impressively, that means that the solar storm traveled 91 million miles from the surface of the sun to our home planet of Earth in a little over 24 hours. And this is only days since the previous January 19th through 21 solar storm that also had subsequent geomagnetic effects here on Earth. And these geomagnetic effects can be anything from a disruption of communication satellites, power grids. So you could have some breaks in, you say, your cell phone, like you're going through a tunnel. And pertaining to that, Michio Kaku, among others, has said that he talks about in 1859 there was a gigantic solar storm which knocked out telegraph wires back then, and 150 years ago. If that had happened today, it would knock out almost all of our satellites and power stations. There would be food riots from lack of refrigeration. Airplanes would crash from lack of radar and guidance, so GPS systems would not be functional. And damage estimates would tally a natural disaster from the sun at an incredible $2 trillion. And this is a once-in-a-century, according to what he says, once-in-a-century storm. We would be thrown back 100 years. And so he actually went to Congress over a year ago and asked for a $100 million infrastructure safety prevention bill. And that would have protected our solar storm-susceptible world. But Congress, unfortunately, turned down the bill, amazingly. And so Solar Cycle 24 doesn't bode well when you have a Congress that doesn't truly care. And it was a measly $100 million that we could have insulated our infrastructure, which would have been more prudent than other things like Wall Street bailout and banker bailouts that we had done time and time again. So
sure, absolutely. And while we're talking about that, let's jump into the economic and financial part of it. What's going on with the U.S. economy, financial stuff?
Associated Press has been reporting that stocks slipped this Friday after U.S. economic growth disappoints. The GDP growth comes in below expectations, with Ford and Chevron being the front runners causing the slump. The stocks were drifting lower Friday. The government reported the U.S. economy grew at a slower pace. So it shaved a little bit off the top of the Dow. It closed down 40 points down and actually concluded about 0.6% to a rate of 12,656 at noon. And the S&P 500 index fell 4 points to 1,314. The NASDAQ composite actually went up 5 to 2810. And the Commerce Department actually said the economy grew at 2.8% annual rate in the final 3 months of last year. And economists actually expected 3% growth. So conservatively, you could say that the Commerce Department was a little on with that forecast. And among the stocks that make the big move, Chevron Corp fell 3%. And among the other stocks in the Dow average after the energy company's fourth quarter revenue and earnings per share came in well below analysts were expecting, oil and natural gas production declined in the quarter. And so Starbucks Corporation, we all know that. We all partake in their caffeinated beverages, fell 2.6% after reporting late Thursday that full-year results were likely to come in less than expectations. Procter Gamble, which we all know, I no longer use because it has fluoride in it, which makes Tide for washing your clothes, and Crest toothpaste. So if you want to stay fluoridated, keep buying their products.
That's right. And talking about that, I have an article to talk about too with the fluoride. But let's jump into the Whole Foods and GMOs. I know you did an article recently on that. And update us on the GMOs and Whole Foods and what's going on with that.
GMOs are wrought throughout a lot of foods that we get at Whole Foods. They also contain a nasty little thing known as canola oil, and canola oil, not many people know, is rapeseed oil. It's a great thing. You could use it as an alternative for oil, a lubricant, but actually it's not good for the body, and some actually theorize that it may stoke and gestate certain ailments known as multiple sclerosis, among other things. So it's actually very toxic to the human body. So that's the caveat out there. You just want to abstain and try to stay the straight and narrow and be very privy and read the back of the labels and know what you're taking in and ingesting. So that's the only warning I could give is people have to read the labels and make sure that there's no canola oil in there, no partially hydrogenated oils, no vegetable oil and monodiglycerides, and just make sure that you're eating healthy, non-processed, and definitely organic foods, because genetically modified foods, Monsanto has infiltrated through lobbying groups, has infiltrated a lot of Congress. Secretary General Vilsack was bought out basically by Whole Foods, Monsanto's, and Whole Foods has basically acquiesced because they know that there's no way they can get away from cross contamination or cross pollination, as it's called, when you have downwind of Monsanto's field, it goes into the neighboring field, and it's unavoidable. You're going to have the genetically modified food contaminate the once organic food. So unfortunately, they said, let's just get along and get along with GMOs.
Yeah, and that's what's so important about, you know, this year, 2012, is you got to eat healthy, you got to clear your mind, your body, your spirit. We have a big transformation coming, so you got to be prepared. I just have an article, I'll quickly read it. It says, the headline is, chemicals found in deodorants, face cream, and food products are discovered in tumors of all breast cancer patients.
Yep.
And it talks about that the estrogen is known to play a central role in the development, growth, and progression of breast cancer. And this is found in food products, pharmaceuticals, preservatives, cosmetics, and there's poisons in all this food. So
yeah,
you got to be aware.
And one of the key constituents that I think that article is denoting is actually it's aluminum zirconium. Aluminum actually is a heavy metal. Your body can't process it, and when it bioaccumulates enough, it can onset things like Alzheimer's. So that's why you're seeing an explosive growth in an early onset of Alzheimer's, is probably because of the bombardment of more and more heavy metals, as you just said, Jenna.
Absolutely. And yeah, you just got to pay attention to that stuff, because they're increasing the poisons. The population's waking up. People are getting smarter. People are listening to shows like this, reading blogs like yours, and the information's getting out. So we're doing a great job. And real quickly before you go, give us a quick update on like Occupy. I talked about it at the beginning of the show, but what's going on with the Occupy movement?
Well, Occupy actually they had a little movement over last week at the Supreme Court, and they arrested 11 people. The clampdown on Occupy is just evidence of the ever since the passage of the NDAA bill, the National Defense Authorization Act, that bill authorizes that you can no longer really have any freedom of speech, i.e., you cannot protest. You're unable to exercise your First Amendment right no longer, among other rights in the Constitution. So it's a further eroding of our constitutional rights, and that is why you're seeing a large suppression of the Occupy movement. And I am not in a line with them, but the Tea Party movement has been suppressed as well due to the NDAA, you could say.
Sure, yeah, and that's what's so important about supporting Occupy, is by sending food, water, put some posts up, because there's people going to jail every day. They're clamping down. They use tear gas, stun grenades. I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, people got to rise up. This is the time of transformation, and people really need to step up the game and be vocal right now. You know, the cat's out of the bag, and things are happening. So, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show. And, of course, you can check out your information at Bellwether. That's WETHERpost.com. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jonah.
Awesome. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, listen to another track of Paul Oakenfold, Creamfields. And when we come back, we will be interviewing Dr. Thea Summer Deer. Enjoy some of Living the Dream. Welcome back. That was another track from Paul Oakenfold's album, Creamfields. That was Living the Dream. And now joining us on the show is Thea Summer Deer. She has a new book out that we're going to talk about, Wisdom of the Plant Divas, Herbal Medicine. And now joining us on the show is Dr. Deer. How are you doing, Dr. Deer?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. And so you have a new book out, Wisdom of the Plant Divas, Herbal Medicine for a New Earth. And you were just recently at one of our Evolver meetings, and we got to talking about it and actually heard some experts from the book, and it's an amazing book. So let's jump into how you came about the book, where did it stem from, and where'd the whole vision come from?
Well, it's kind of a magical story, and I'll tell you that story if you want to know.
Sure.
I had been involved in working with herbs most of my life. I was a midwife for 9 years and used herbs in my midwifery practice. But the way that the book came to me was I was working in my garden, and my husband and I had moved to a very beautiful and powerful piece of land that was right on the Blue Ridge Divide. We were living up near Highlands, and our property, the Blue Ridge Divide, ran right through our property. And there was a beautiful big rock outcropping that overlooks the garden where I would sit and meditate. And we started working this garden. We had been working on it for a couple of years. And I'm going to get personal here. We're going to launch right into it. I can see we're going to get right to the core. And I was approaching the end of my fertile years. And I wanted to give something back to the earth that was sacred to me. It was giving me so much, just in not only the food that we were growing, but just the energy of being there on the land. And it came to me that I wanted to offer some of my last menstrual blood to the garden. And I did that, and just very simply, went down and looked around and thought, I might put it right in where I was composting or something. But there was a wild blackberry bush. We know them here as black raspberries. And it was a kind of a wild area that we hadn't cultivated, even though we picked berries there every year. And that was who wanted the offering, or where the offering wanted to be left. And I did that. And the most miraculous thing happened, and I'm sure you can relate to this, that feeling when something kind of magical happens, where either it's a heightened awareness. You might feel a breeze coming from a certain direction, or the play of light just illuminates something that you're looking at, or your hair, you know, stands on end, and there's like an electromagnetic energy in the air. And that's what happened, and that's when the devas showed up for me. And I not only saw them, but I heard them, and they were so excited that I had made this offering. I mean, I would have never imagined something so simple could be so profound. And they started sending me messages, and I would find myself working in the garden, and I would have to run inside and sit at my computer and type out these messages that they were wanting to deliver. And I wouldn't be able to think about it much while I was doing it, because it was just coming through so fast, and I would read those channelings after the fact. And was pretty blown away. I was like, wow, I don't think I could have made that up. And wow. Then I started sharing it with a few close friends, and they're like, this is incredible. So I just kept opening myself up to those transmissions. And then the book itself is kind of a marriage between botanical medicine and what I like to call earth spirit medicine, which includes these channelings from the devas.
Now, you were born in Miami, South Florida, just like I was raised, and you grew up along the Seminole Indians down there, and you always came up to the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina. And coming from that diversity from the city of South Florida up to the mountains here, how did you feel like in your later years, I guess once you're awakened, once you started contacting with the divas, when you went back to such a densely populated, heavy 3D area like South Florida, do you notice that you still get messages and transmissions there? Is it more clogged for you, you know, the transmissions?
No, you know, I do, because for a few reasons I'll speak into. And one is, growing up down there was pretty mystical for me. I have what I call my Atlantean memories, and I feel like it was a reason I was born and raised there and lived where I did and was informed by that place, because it always felt very Atlantean to me. And Florida is very porous, as you know. It's just coral rock with a lot of water.
Okay, so let's start over with the interview because we got a little distortion and noise there. So, Dr. Deer, let me just go ask you the question again. You're born in Miami and grew up around the Seminole Indians. And was it hard for you, or is it hard for you going back to Florida because of the lower vibration there and the density versus up in the North Carolina mountains? You know, once you started communicating and you're awakened, do you find it different in more densely populated cities and negative or dark energy cities like Florida or DC or New York, places like that?
Well, no, actually I don't. And I'll tell you just my story about Florida, because I have a theory about that, is, you know, growing up there, I feel like Florida is a very psychic place. It sits on coral rock, which is infused with water. And as we all know, water is a great conductor of electromagnetic energy. So it felt to me like a very psychic place, but a very difficult place to get grounded. So coming up here to the mountains for me is much more grounding. And I look at Miami as being very psychically expansive. And I'm very fortunate because my mother still lives down there, and she lives in a beautiful retirement home that was landscaped by the same man who landscaped Fairchild Gardens. So when I go down there, I'm staying at her place, and I'm surrounded by these incredible tropical and exotic plants that have been growing there for quite a while, and they're exotic, and so I tend to go and walk out among them and just connect with the land there. And also, my sister lives in the Keys, and she's right on the water, so it's always a beautiful connection for me. Usually, wherever I go, wherever I am, I'm usually connecting intentionally there. I've been called there. I'm responding to a call to be somewhere, and I feel protected in that, because I'm going for that intention and for that reason. So there's a degree of protection, I think, that comes with that when we're on our soul path, so to speak, so that we can move in and out of these energies. But, you know, I live in a beautiful place here in the mountains that is very nurturing and quiet and not overstimulating. I can't take too much of that stimulation, but just going in and out of cities, having, you know, come back here to the mountains to regroup and get my reserves to then travel out, it's been a very nice balance for me.
Yeah, the reason I ask is I know up here in the mountains, it's very protected, and I feel amazing. Everyone who comes here feels the energy. And when I travel back to Florida, I could actually feel the vibrational shift, the density down there when I travel to those places. So it's you know, something I've noticed and pay attention to. And
Well, you know, there is a lot of dark energy. Don't get me wrong. Most definitely, I'm aware of that when I go down there, and that's why I can't take too much of it. I have found that, you know, 4 or 5 days anymore is about my limit to keep my energy centered and do the work that I need to do there. But, you know, that's the contrast, I think, that there is so much dark energy, dense energy there, because it's almost in a way counterbalancing the expansive psychic energy that's there. And it's hard for people to get grounded, and they don't understand these energies and are just, you know, living rather unconsciously in them and acting out from them. So maybe that's
sure. Yeah, it makes sense. And with your book and being into alternative medicine for over 35 years, what are some things that while writing the new book that you discovered yourself about new alternative medicines? Like, what did the Plant Divas, you know, teach you about some new alternative medicines that you shared with the readers in the book?
Well, you know, I learned a lot, and I'm still learning from them. And, you know, one of the things that is becoming more and integrated, I guess I would say, is that knowing that we are all our own healers in relationship with others who are also their own healers. So the message has been one of sovereignty, and of, instead of looking outside for the answers or for even a plant medicine, is to consult on the inner planes and to allow guidance to be guided to through resonant frequencies to that which is holding the frequency that we need to heal. So I'm learning more about, I mean, there's been that period of my life of learning, you know, about plants, specifically their botanical, histories and phytochemistries and what they do and energetically how they are. So this phase of my life is more about the essence of these plants as they are being, let's say, vibrating from the ethers, the place where they live in the ethers, and not just in their physical bodies like we're in a physical body, but what they have to bring to us from the level, from the realms of spirit, and how they're healing not only our physical body, but our spirits, our emotions, and our psyches.
And just to clarify that with listeners out there, plants, trees, I mean, everything has its own consciousness, has its own being, essence to it that everyone can communicate with, true?
Absolutely, yes.
And I know that in your new book, you have 13 specific herbs that you got for the book. And I know I've asked you the question before, but tell us again how you came up with the 13 specific herbs, plants that you used in the book.
That was an interesting process, because when I first started out, I didn't know how many plants I was going to write about. And I had thought that I wanted to do it more as a divination deck kind of a thing. And because it was obvious that these plants were speaking to me as an oracle, it would give guidance. And so I chose 48 plants that I made a list of when I started out. And then I looked at that list and I laughed. I thought, how in the world? I mean, there are hundreds of plants that are, you know, common, really, even common weeds that are medicines. And I just looked at that list and went, I don't know how I'm going to decide what to write about. So sure. I laid it down and I just said, who wants to show up? I just opened myself. Who needs to speak? What needs to be written about next? And it was just whoever showed up, and it didn't end up being 48 herbs. Of course, it ended up being 13, because as the book was taking on its own life, those chapters kept getting longer and longer. There was more that needed to be included. So in order to not have it be a huge book, it ended up being the 13 herbs. And that's a pretty magical number. So it's kind of cool. Yeah, it's kind of cool that that's how many showed up. But they showed up in a lot of different ways. I mean, some of them came in dreams. Some of them were growing outside of my door. Some of them were medicines that when I was working with a client and I would check in as to who they needed, who was the plant spirit that needed to come and work with this person, and I would be shown that. So there were a lot of different ways that they showed up. It was a fun journey.
Wow. And as a doctor, and the whole focus of 2012 is more of the solutions to a lot of the problems like fluoride and GMOs and stuff like that, could you give our listeners some tips on some healthy things to do or healthy ways to eat or you know, just some tips for them to just be better and eat healthier?
Sure. I would say that one of the most important things to do is to nourish our deep yin reserves. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we live in a very yang-driven society. So it's always about, you know, doing and not so much about being. And as a result of that, we are burning up these deep reserves that our body needs to, for all of the fluids in the body, you know, the lubricating fluids, the sexual fluids, sweat, saliva, bile, you know, everything that is liquid and moving in the body is being burned up by our yang-driven society and lifestyles. So, you know, my best advice would be, one, lifestyle-wise, is to slow down and to find a practice, a spiritual practice, meditation, yoga, whatever it takes to check in. And then food-wise, foods that nourish this deep yin and help to conserve energy in the body, seaweeds are one of the best all the way around. And not only is it nourishing to that deep yin, but it's remineralizing and also carrying away, helping to remove heavy metals and toxins from the body. It's a wonderful food. So foods like that, that nourish that deep yin, alkalizing foods, teas and grains that that have that alkalizing effect on the body will help, because our nervous systems are being very stressed right now, not only because of the lifestyles, but also just because of all of the things that we're being exposed to. And that's a lot of things. I don't mean just, you know, electrical currents and you know, satellite communications and pollutions and light and sound pollution and all of that. So our nervous systems are taking a pretty big hit. So there are things that we can do to help recalibrate our nervous system. There are specific herbs for that. But as far as foods are concerned, the ones that nourish that deep yin are, and because those foods also help the body to remineralize, that's going to help our nervous systems be able to adjust more easily and readily to these changes.
Excellent. And with that, your website is theasummerdeer.com, mm-hmm. and that's T-H-E-A. And do you have any upcoming projects or things you're working on?
Oh, gosh. I've got so many.
I'm sure you got a lot.
Yeah, I have some great projects. The one that's happening right now is I have a new class that is launching this weekend on Wise Woman University. That's wisewomanuniversity.org, or you can go to my website, theasummerdeer.com, and you'll find all the information about that. I'm doing a free introductory live webinar tomorrow to introduce the class, and so you can listen in and get a feel for it. So that new class is called Hidden Treasure, Kidney Essence and the Water Element. It is also the water element. The corresponding season is winter, so this is a really good time to be focusing on kidney health. So I have that class that I'm teaching. I'm also a singer-songwriter, so I'm performing and recording, and I'm in the middle of recording a new CD, and we've got a number of performances coming up in the area, and that's all things that you can find and learn about on my website.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Deer, as I like to call you, thank you so much.
I love that. Thank you.
for coming on the show. And thanks again for coming out to our Evolver meeting.
My pleasure.
It's been great talking to you. And we will talk to you soon. And with that, we'll enjoy some more music from Paul Oakenfold. And when we come back, we'll do the wrap up. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Starseed Energy Radio. That track was I Found You off the Creamfields album of Paul Oakenfold. And just really quickly, thank you, Dr. Deer, for coming on the show, and Michael Elgeon and Ryan, as always. And coming up the next couple of weeks, we have some more amazing guests. On February 3rd, next week, we have David Sarita coming on, UFO researcher and filmmaker. DavidSarita.blogspot.com is his website. Also, Chris Hoover will be joining us, an author and visionary from Imagine-Freedom.com. And February 10th, we have Colin Andrews, world's number one crop circle researcher, coming on. That's ColinAndrews.net. And also on that show, we have Andy Hoffman, who will be joining us, Ranting Andy Hoffman. He's an employee of Terry Hills Capital with MilesFranklin.com. And also on the 17th, we have Michelle Manders from PalaceOfPeace.com. So we have some amazing guests. And, you know, you could always get updated with StarseedEnergyRadio.com, or you could follow my Twitter feed. And also Facebook, I put out updates every day or so. So check out the Twitter feed on there. And now is the time, Star Fam. People are waking up, and how to do it is one by one. So tell them about the videos that I post and tell them about this show. Do what you can. It's time to be vocal. We're all leaders out there, and it's time for us to awaken and help awaken our Star Fam and Star Brothers and Sisters out there. So again, thanks for tuning in, and I will speak to the Star Fam next week, and enjoy this last track called Space Maneuvers from Paul Oakenfold. Enjoy.